GPs are being told to see more patients face-to-face as long waits in A&E rise to their worst levels since records began. So Minsters have set up a £250 million emergency winter rescue package so GP surgeries can take on more temporary staff. Now, this comes amid mounting criticism that the fall in face-to-face appointments since the start of pandemic. And joining me right now is Michael Wright. He's the chief executive of the Nottinghamshire Local Medical Committee, which represents GPs. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi, Aaron. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So what difference will this extra money make?
I'm quite concerned, to be honest. I mean, you know, our GPs are working hard to try and meet the demand and make decisions over how best to serve the patients. And the trouble is, we've seen the paper, and the concern is that there's actually a lot of paperwork involved, a lot of time involved, which is just going to take GPs away from the face-to-face care and the videos and phone calls. So we have concerns. It's fair to say that, Aaron, to be honest.
So if you had it your way, what would you do to try and take GPs away from that? How would that work? Who would be doing those jobs?
I mean, GPs are quite good at working together, and they've got extended teams, and they're good and efficient at how they work with their colleagues. But the trouble is, there's a real retention and recruitment problem. So GPs are leaving because they're becoming pretty demoralised, really. They're having a very hard time. And through COVID, they've tried to change the way they've worked so that they can serve the patients. And the trouble here is, it's very target-driven. So this is a good soundbite, but it's very target-driven. So they're going to get exposed if they fall into the bottom 20% of who's providing face-to-face appointments. And unfortunately, it just kind of sounds a little bit like that, you know, it's a case of a lot of stick and no carrot. And I guarantee, and any of the listeners, if you're having problems getting through to practice, it's because they're really understaffed, they're stretched, they're trying to cope, and we're still in the midst of a pandemic as well, although it doesn't always feel like that.
So why is there a recruitment problem? Traditionally, it's been a sort of profession that people have kind of been steered into. Is it just because of the way the world's moving that these kind of professions aren't as popular or, I suppose, thought of in the same way anymore?
I think recruitment numbers have risen in the last few years. So actually, there's a lot more GPs starting to come through. But the trouble is that the way that GPs have been funded for years, without trying to get political, but you know, for a long time, they've been underfunded for what they do. I mean, an average GP now is responsible for anything between 1,500 and 3,000 patients, which is, you know, it's unsafe, it's unsustainable. So a lot of them are getting burnt out and reducing their sessions and doing less work. So they're just trying to cope and have some kind of work-life balance. But what that means is that you've got less people to do the work. And it's a bit of a perfect storm that we've got. And I don't think that this paper today is going to address it. And if anything, it's going to demoralise the profession even more.
So you talk about demoralising them. Where's morale at the moment?
I think it's almost rock bottom. I don't know where rock bottom is, but I think that they feel that the government doesn't really seem to understand the pressures on them. I think the public rightly deserve a good quality general practice service. Of course they deserve that. But, you know, we like them to trust GPs that they're making clinical decisions on how to see their patients, whether that's on the phone, on the video or in person. And they will see people in person if it's safe and if clinically they need to do so. So I think they just feel really that they're undervalued, underappreciated. They're very much on the side of the public and patients. I mean, they're so dedicated that sometimes they do so at their own detriment. And I've worked as a practice manager for years before as well, and I've seen that close up. So it's very difficult for them. They feel that they're under attack, and it's been now for a good long time.
Is there a little, I guess, element of trying to be a bit too idealistic in this whole scenario, of hoping that would be in this scenario where everyone, if they want, can go get their GP appointment, can go see someone face-to-face, that GPs have got enough time to see individuals and give them the time and care? But is that a bit too idealistic? Is it realistic?
I don't think it is realistic. I think you're right, Aaron, completely. You know, I think it's one of these things where, you know, there is only so much capacity in terms of who can see the patients, and they can't magic people up. And if you want the right care, then you have to just kind of trust the GPs that they will make the right clinical decisions. And we don't condone poor care, and if there is any evidence of that, and that needs to be sorted out. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, just putting targets in for how many face-to-face appointments. Currently in Nottinghamshire, it's around 55 to 60% of appointments from GPs are seen face-to-face. And actually, GPs at the start of the pandemic were told by the government to go into video and go into phone and actually stop seeing people face to face. So it's a real about turn, and it's being made to look as if GPs are just not pulling their weight. But to be fair, nothing's further from the truth on that one.
Is it, though, also on that, and I'm sorry, I've just got to ask the questions that are coming to my head, because I'm thinking about what other people will be thinking, and going, we live in a world now where technology has been at the forefront of nearly everything over the last 18 months in trying to get to the point where people have adapted and where people have learned how to adapt fundamentally. And if you look at different professions, for example, there are now bosses that don't like the fact that their staff don't need to be in the office. They don't like the fact they've lost that kind of control over things. But in this profession, whilst we go, yes, we'd like to go see our GP face to face, with everything that I suppose could happen when going to see a GP, going into the doctor's surgery and actually being in that environment where some people may be sick and so forth, is it not better to have some being able to do a lot of the stuff virtually?
Yeah, of course, yeah. You want to mix, don't you? I mean, you know, we know patients who hate having to, you know, break from work to go and see a doctor and wait in the waiting room, especially now. There might be among people who potentially could have COVID or could be, you know, immunosuppressed and poorly. And we're now coming into flu season as well. So we really don't want people coming in if they don't need to. But, you know, you're completely right, you know, and you could argue that before the pandemic, actually general practice was a little bit slow in adopting the technology when you compare it with online banking and some other services. So, you know, actually it's got up to speed in an emergency situation, and then it's suddenly being told by the government, actually, you need to go back to where you were before. And we're going to highlight the ones who are not doing so in the right speed. And the trouble with, you know, they're going to highlight 20% of practices, the lowest ones who provide the face-to-face appointments. Well, if you generally have good numbers, it means you're going to pick out a lot of practices that are doing okay on that front, but they happen to fit into a certain number. So it's quite a blunt tool, and it's not really, it's not going to do what it needs to do, which is to support the workforce to provide very good general practice. But you're right, you know, the sector should be able to offer a range of appointments according to the needs of the patients, but the government wants it to be about the wants of the patients, and they don't always tie together.
Michael, just finally, if you could have things in an idealistic way, what would you have done, or what would you do to enable GPs to be able to see people face to face when necessary, but also not get bogged down with admin and bureaucracy? What would you make happen?
Well, I think it would just need a government and NHS approach that was very light on paperwork, that really just freed them up, because there's an awful lot of box ticking and paperwork to do, as anyone who works in any government organisation knows. So it would really be, you know, free the GPs from doing that, free the teams from having to get involved in that and get bogged down, but actually invest in it, you know, invest fairly in not just general practice, but in the NHS. Invest properly into it. And for years, if you do that, you will start seeing it become more attractive. People will stay in the profession and enjoy being there. But, you know, it's years of undervaluing the profession. And then we get the pandemic, which has really hit hard. And I think there's a lot that could be done, but it would take time. But it needs the commitment to support general practice and understand the pressure on it. And I think this report today almost just confirms what we all feared, really, that the government is just a little bit too far from understanding what it's like in general practice. And, of course, the impact on patient care, which is the most important part of all of this.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us today on BBC Radio Nottingham. That was Michael Wright, the Chief Executive of the Nottinghamshire Local Medical Committee, which